Brighton at BM1 Arts again, and I have with me the wonderful Ben Thomas. Hi, Ben. How you doing?
I'm good, Mark.
Excellent. Good, thanks for joining us.
It's a pleasure.
For agreeing to chat to us about your portfolio career. So, Ben, tell us a bit about yourself in terms of music, creative industries. What did you get up to? What's your thing?
My thing, well, to date, most notably, I'm a session musician. I've been playing with Rag & Bone Man now for the last 11, nearly 12 years.
Oh, wow.
Prior to that, cutting my teeth in the industry, playing with lots of people, losing money back in the day, in a hope that one day it would come to fruition. Unfortunately, it has. Yeah. Alongside that, just important to me is teaching. I first started teaching with a music service down in East Sussex, straight out of uni, and served me very, very well. And enlightened me to the world of teaching. I didn't think I was going to be a teacher back then, but decided to take the job, and it turned into something that was a huge part of my life, and I really enjoy it and I love it, and it's able to work alongside session work, live performance, studio work, all that kind of stuff quite nicely, and it's cool to bring those things back in. Just come back from Australia yesterday with a whole load of new experiences.
Yeah.
So that's always good to bring back into the classroom, you know, update your schema works and whatnot, and put some info that's hot off the press into the lessons.
That's fantastic, and it's fantastic for the students that, you know, you can run a class today and the students, you know, say, why are we learning this? And you can say, well, I've just come back from Australia this morning where I performed to X amount of thousands of people, and this is what we had to do, so this is why we're doing it. And so let's take it back a bit then. You studied music.
Yeah.
Did you do a diploma or did
I did a diploma with the intention of, it was a different diploma to what we do now. It was a higher national diploma back then.
Yeah.
With the intent of going to do a degree for 2 years. And I got offered a teaching job right at the end of that diploma. So I decided I'd do that with the intention of going back and doing a degree. But things kind of took off. In quite a good way, got offered more teaching, more positions in schools and stuff, and
snowballed.
Did the degree. Yeah, what I did do though is a postgrad, a PG cert in learning and teaching about 3 years ago now, which opened my eyes to a whole new world of teaching practice and academia and all these things that just really help solidify and continue your sort of professional development in the teaching world.
It's a bit like music theory, isn't it? Some of that teaching stuff. It's like when you don't know about it, it's the most driest, boring, scary thing in the world. And then you like go through the looking glass and start, like once you start knowing about it, it's like, oh no, I'm one of them now. I'm talking about modes and cognitive load theory.
Yeah. That's what I did my final piece on.
I thought it might be.
So that's great.
So that's fantastic. You did this sort of diploma. There's a vocational aspect, isn't it, to that kind of training?
Yeah, for sure,
and I guess, you know, a bit of a theme in recording some of these podcasts and some of the centre visits we've been doing is that, you know, the vocational training isn't... It allows people that perhaps may not have done so well in mainstream settings to show that they're talented and skilled, you know. But it's great to hear that that was part of your background. So tell us about Rag & Bone Man then. You started playing with Rag & Bone Man 11, 12 years ago. So presumably early days before Deals?
I mean, he was pretty... Yeah, before Deals, he was pretty well established in the UK hip-hop scene back then and was just starting to branch out into...
He was on the hip-hop label.
High Focus. And still affiliated with them. He still does things with them. And but it was... Yeah, it was great. I mean, really, the story behind that was... how I got that gig really was when I was 16, and I was working with this budding producer at the time called Mark Crew, who was over in Uckfield Community College, where we did our, I think, the first year of music tech that they enrolled there, which we really got into, and recognised him as someone who's going to do good things, and was in bands with him, writing with him, and doing all this sort of stuff, and then. We kind of lost touch through because we went different places to study and whatnot, and still kept loosely in touch. But then, sort of 7, 8 years later, he rings me up and says, "You know, do you want to come and rehearse slash audition for this Rag and Bone Man artist. And I was like, yeah, cool, I know that guy, because we're from the same area, Rory. And we never knocked about together back in the day, but it's weird how these things work out.
Yeah.
And now he's a good friend and someone who, you know, I just love playing for.
And your role in the band, play drums.
Yeah.
And any other responsibilities there?
There was some pretty big ones to start with, yeah. I was alongside another rapper called Stig. It was Stig, Rory and myself. We were the only three at the beginning.
Wow.
And I was in charge of playback, drums, driving and booking, and quite a lot of these sort of, you'd call tour manager responsibilities.
Yeah. So it's the drummer, isn't it? The drummer needs a car, so
back then,
the driving,
So I was kind of invited up to London for a chat with the managers and said, could you do this for, you know, a summer campaign until things pick up and we'll get an official tour manager on board? And I said, in my head, I was thinking, okay, that's pretty scary stuff, but you just say yes to these things as part of a, you know, portfolio career.
Yes.
And then you just kind of get on with it. And it was cool. It was really cool. You know, there were still some of the most enjoyable weeks of my life, sort of driving Rory around in my car at the time.
Yeah.
Loved it. Yeah.
It's always nice to look back after you've had the bit of success, isn't it? I think at the time, I think it's easy to forget sometimes you don't know the success is necessarily coming. Do
although
you?
I got a good feeling with him. I always thought this is it. This guy's going to do some pretty cool things.
What a voice.
And
voice.
So I was really quite, I mean, even if not, you know, I'd love the music. Mm. And I always said to him, look, man, I don't really care if it's a pub or Alexander Palace. I'll play with you wherever, man, because I love his music.
Do you think that sort of attitude, I've no doubt that there's an authenticity about that attitude, do you think that was part of why Rory wanted to work with you? Do you think that helps?
I would think so, yeah. I mean, it's not something we've talked about, but I think everyone that's on that gig, you can look around the stage every night and know that everyone's invested in every note and everyone really cares. And there's a passion there. No one's doing it for the paycheck. Yeah. It's just, everyone just loves being there. And that's one of the reasons why I think the core band has stayed the same for so long.
It feels that it's so important. Especially the style of music, there's a lot of blues there, isn't there? There's a lot of soul. And for that authenticity, As an audience member, you want to know that the musicians mean it, that they're really feeling it.
For
and
sure.
it's really nice to hear you say, look, if we're playing, I don't care if it's a pub or wherever it is, I'll play for you. And I know that feeling. But I think for the best performances, that authenticity needs to be there.
And don't get me wrong, it's very nice playing for big audiences.
Yeah. You need to pay your mortgage and all that stuff.
Glastonbury was cool. It's, you know, at the heart of it, it's something that everyone loves doing. And I think that's really the message with the music in general. You're not really going to get anywhere unless you actually really love it and are just in it. It's part of you and you couldn't live without it. I think that's when you end up doing things that you really enjoy, but give things back to you as well.
Yeah, it's that drive, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's got to be there, hasn't
it? Same with teaching.
Obsessive drive.
Same
almost.
With teaching.
Yeah. So take us a little bit forward now. Let's go forward to this recent tour then. Working with Rag & Bone Man, presumably that's led to some other great opportunities that you've had.
Yeah, I mean, there's been another couple of gigs along the way. Did a show for Dua Lipa back in 2019, I think. Yeah. And then a few other gigs, a Canadian artist I worked with, Robin Ottolini, a few years ago. So there's been other things that happen.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's nice.
Fantastic.
But to be honest, it's been pretty full on since 2000. I mean, we really kicked off in 2016, 17.
Mm-hmm.
That's where things went big. And before that, we were doing, you know, what you would call toilet tours up and down the country.
The sort of venues I play,
But man, we had some of the funnest times on those in a splitter van, you know, driving up and down. And that's you know, still incredible days. And then it all kind of stepped up almost overnight when the Human record came out.
Yeah.
And he's not really had a quiet ear. He really loves playing live.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's good.
And it means the world to him playing live. And it's great for us because I love it too.
Yeah, that's handy. So that brings us on to the music education side a bit, I guess. So your role at BM1 Arts is?
So I'm program leader of music.
Program leader of music.
I do a bit of teaching as well.
Yeah. And you do some teaching. And what courses is that then? What courses do you run?
So we run songwriting, production and performance.
Yeah.
and in performance, we do drums, bass, guitar, vocals.
Yeah.
Songwriting is a combination of all that, uh-huh, with obviously a more creative element towards songwriting and songcraft, yeah, and performance as well, and production. Similar to songwriting, there's a lot of creation in there, but obviously more focused on digital production, front of house,
got you,
and all that kind of stuff.
And the RSL qualifications that you run are subsidiary diploma?
Yes.
And extended
diploma, yeah.
So year one and year two.
Yes.
And how do they work for you? What do you like about the RSL diplomas? And how do you think it benefits for learners?
I think they're very applicable to the industry. I think you can quite nicely sort of say, cool, that's to serve this purpose, whether it's a live performance workshop, whether it's pre-production session, you could see the unit and go, great, that would work perfectly in here. They're really flexible, and you can mold them into a syllabus that works for the students really nicely, and they're quite real world facing, I've found.
And the students that on the music, performance, songwriting, production students, what are their next steps? What do they tend to go on to after they finish here?
I mean, a lot of them go into, we've got a great band at the moment who are kicking off in Brighton doing their thing, and no doubt they're going to carry on doing that.
What's their name?
They're called The Wrong Trousers.
The Wrong
they're
Trousers.
They're pretty good.
Shout out The Wrong Trousers.
and there's many people who are doing really, really cool things.
Yeah.
Lots of vocalists doing amazing things. Brooke, Minnie, loads of great students who have got a bright future. And I think a lot of them are progressing onto university.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
In various places, unis and conservatoires around the country.
Mm-hmm. How do the vocational courses prepare learners for university? You know, I think people's idea of vocational courses is quite often it's all practical. We're just going in a rehearsal room. I mean, we know that's not true, but in terms of preparation for higher education, sort of critical analysis, reflective practice. How do the vocational qualifications prepare learners for that at higher education?
So reflection is something we do almost every time something's performed, for example, and there's always a written element to a performance or creative task. So it's why you're doing what you're doing, what you're looking to achieve. Now we're doing it, okay, what happened? Why did it go wrong? Why did it go well, mostly? And just really getting to the nuts and bolts of why that happened, looking at reflective cycles as well, some academic theory, and trying to get inside and under the hood of really what happened and what's going on and how they can make it better in the future.
Yep.
I think that's really where I really get people to look, because I still do it myself. If I'm on stage, I still give myself a very quick fire holistic score. I've been quite good at self-criticism over the years, but in a healthy way.
So you get better at it,
yeah,
don't you?
Yeah, you do. And you sort of think, cool, that could have been better. And I love it because it means you can come back and, you know, I've not been able to practice drums for 2 weeks, so I love coming back with a little checklist of things that I can go back in the studio today. And
do you listen back to gigs ever?
Not if they're good.
No.
No. If I know something's gone wrong, then when you say wrong these days, professional, it's usually something no one's ever going to notice.
Yes.
Like you.
Yeah. You'd hope. Yeah.
You never get below sort of 80%. Yeah. I think of your capability, which usually is well within a safe range of an audience.
Yeah. It's a
you
good hope. Way of putting you it. Hope. I know what you mean. Yeah.
But yeah, I do reflect on things if I think something's not where it could be. If a gig's been great, I'll just leave it, you know. If it's been a great experience, like Glastonbury in 2017 when we did it, I've never watched that gig back, because the time we had on the stage was just awesome. And I don't want any kind of, I don't know, as good as the broadcast mixes can be, it's not the same as if you're there, you know what it's like. So I just like that to stay in my head.
Yeah, it's nice to have a memory, isn't it? Yeah. Or not sully that memory by watching that videos of it. And in terms of things like critical analysis, research, do the students do anything like that?
Yeah, for sure. So we do we do an industry unit, we do a career portfolio unit where we look at case studies, people that have done great things before, evaluate how they're doing things, how they can apply to their lives and their future steps, crucially, to sort of inform them about what can be achieved and what has been achieved in the past.
So they are developing those sort of essay writing skills that they might need at university.
For sure.
But that's fascinating. Well, thanks, Ben.
Sorry.
I think that's great. It's been really interesting to hear about how you take your professional career into the classroom. And, you know, that can only be an inspiration to students, you know. They know that what they're learning is like literally from the workplace.
Yeah.
It was great to see the students at Brighton Electric earlier today. You know, we're in a dance studio now where the creative performing arts students study. it's nice to see vocational courses delivered in real world settings, you know.
For sure, given the opportunity to do it. I mean, I had to really look for my place when I was their age, and I think I found it purely by chance at a university fair.
Yeah.
I was like, why wasn't I told about this?
Yeah.
So I think giving people the chance to do this when, as you said, they're not maybe a star in maths,
which I
never was.
No.
So, but you know, then again, with the application and transferable skills, as we call them, it provides people with the skills, even if they don't want to go off in music. You know, FE's like it's a hotbed of training and transferable skills and finding out what people want to do. So whether they want to go into music, university, another job, they've got the skills necessary to do that.
Absolutely, and you know, we've got the UK music figures that are always bandied about. Yeah. You know, 220,000 jobs in UK music.
Yeah.
The majority of those aren't performing roles, are they? You know, and I think more and more young people, age 14, 15. Are coming to music, and that doesn't necessarily mean that you're an oboe player or your mum can afford piano lessons, so you do that. You can come into music as a rapper, as a producer that's just made a few beats at home, or even having an interest in, you know, promoting gigs and things like that.
Yeah.
Music doesn't mean just playing Frère Jacques. You know, it's not that at all, is it? Music is an industry, 7.6 billion to the UK economy.
Seeing it, you know, being out with people, and you see what goes into a production. It's crazy. I mean,
lots.
And you know, we supported Pink last year.
Oh, wow.
On a couple of stadium shows, and it's like, geez, man,
that's a big show, isn't it?
You see all the people that are involved in a show like that, and you know, we've got a fair few people on the Rags gig, and you just sort of see. You're quite a small, it's a big deal in terms of the music, but in terms of the operation, you know, there's all sorts going on way before you get to the venue to get it set up and ready. And whether it's local crew, lighting crew, lighting designers, stage hands.
Catering. Yeah.
Most of them are part.
Yeah.
merch people, all that kind of stuff. So, yeah.
I saw the Pink Floyd at Pompeii, live at Pompeii.
Oh, yeah.
So I think it's on Amazon or something at the moment. But I always remember seeing, I think it was on the album cover, or was it Umagumma, the album? I'm confusing it with the album cover, where they had the lorries on the back cover and all gear. And it was three massive lorries of equipment. You know, that's just all the gongs.
Yeah, nice. Yeah,
anyway,
sure.
We digress. Thank you, Ben.
Really, no worries, man.
Real pleasure, mate. Appreciate you talking to us. And thanks for having us at BM1 Arts today. It's been amazing. The quality of music, the quality of dance, how articulate the students are. Yeah, it's just amazing to see. So thanks, mate.
Great, man. Cool. It's all right. Cheers.
Cheers,
thanks a lot.